After taking a break last Sunday for the Solemnity of the Assumption, today we are concluding our homily series on the Mass, the most beautiful thing this side of heaven. If you remember, as we have been reading through the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel at Mass, we've been hearing how Jesus is moving the crowd in the Gospel from recognizing only their physical hunger to a deeper place of recognizing that they are spiritually hungry. And our spiritual hunger is fed at the Mass. The first part of the Mass in the Liturgy of the Word, which we are in right now, where we listen to God's Word proclaimed, meditate on it, and how it applies to the lives that we live right now. And then our spiritual hunger is satisfied even further in the Liturgy of the Eucharist, in which we receive Holy Communion. In the Gospel this week, we hear that the crowd is murmuring about what Jesus has said to them. And since we missed it last week, I think it would be helpful for us to hear what exactly Jesus said that makes the crowd murmur. So Jesus has said to them, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you." He says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." Jesus tells them that it is his flesh and blood that communicates life, that just as the living Father sent me and I have life because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. And then he says, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." It's the proclamation of his flesh and blood being food and drink that leads the crowd to a decision point. It leads the crowd to decide whether or not they're going to continue. And we're told that these are his disciples. But this teaching is too difficult for many of them. And they throw up their hands and they leave. It's true that Jesus uses many images, metaphors, analogies in his preaching. But somehow the crowd knows that this isn't a metaphor, that Jesus is being very literal here. And Jesus, on his part, lets them go. He doesn't run after them and say, "Oh, no, you got it wrong. It's just a metaphor." No, he lets them go because it's not a symbol. He's speaking literally. He's serious about his body and blood being real food and real drink. And the crowd knows that he's serious. So what's our reaction? Do we believe this Eucharistic teaching? Do we believe the constant Catholic faith since the beginning that a real transformation takes place in the Mass? That it is through the Mass, the coming down of the Holy Spirit, the words of institution, that Jesus fulfills the promise to give his body and blood as food and drink? 2 weeks ago, we began talking about the first part of the Liturgy of the Eucharist, the offertory where the bread and the wine are presented, and the liturgy of the Eucharistic prayer itself, in which that transformation takes place. Today we're going to talk about the communion rite and our reception of Holy Communion. The Our Father introduces the communion rite because in the Our Father we pray for our daily bread. We're not praying for physical bread, we're praying for the spiritual bread of the Eucharist. And then we offer each other the sign of peace. The sign of peace is related to Jesus' command in the Gospels, that if you bring your gift to the altar and you realize that your brother has something against you, go reconcile with your brother and then come back and offer your gift. Then we have the fraction rite where we sing the Lamb of God. We remember that a real sacrifice has taken place here, that Jesus offers himself as that sacrificial lamb. And then if you notice, the priest takes a piece of the large host and he drops it into the chalice. And as we do this, we pray a prayer. We say, may the mingling of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bring eternal life to those who receive it. The body and blood of Jesus are unity. Jesus is fully present in both species of the Eucharist. The Eucharist isn't like a 50-50 proposition that if you add them together, you get 100%. It's 100% and 100%. And the mingling of the body and blood of Jesus at that moment symbolizes that. That truly the bread and the wine are his body and blood. And then as the priest presents to us the Eucharist, shows it to us, he says the words of John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." And we respond back with the words of the Roman soldier who asked Jesus to come and heal his servant. He prayed, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant shall be healed." We say, "But only say the word and my soul shall be healed." We take those words, his confession of faith, and we put them on our lips. So what does it mean to be worthy to receive Holy Communion? We too, at the Mass, are brought to a decision point. At this part of the Mass, we have to decide whether or not we are prepared to receive Holy Communion, whether we are worthy. First, there's a spiritual preparation that we have to undergo. Am I in a state of grace? Am I aware of any unconfessed serious sins, mortal sins? And if I am, I should go to confession before I receive Holy Communion again. Am I in communion with the church on faith and morals? Do I believe what the church teaches? We call this Holy Communion for a reason, because it creates communion among those who receive it, unity in the body of Christ. So for those who are not in communion with the church, we don't invite them to come to communion because it would be a false symbol. It would be a false symbol because they are not in union with us in the faith. And then there's a physical preparation. There's how we actually present ourselves to receive Holy Communion, what we do as we come up for communion. Unfortunately, quite frequently, I see people who use the communion line as like a receiving line at a wedding. They kind of greet everybody that they know as they pass by. Well, there's nothing wrong with greeting our friends in church, but as we're coming up for Holy Communion, is that really the right moment? Does that communicate that I believe that something important is about to happen? That I'm going up to receive something special. The way we carry ourselves communicates what we believe. So if I carry myself up to Holy Communion with my hands folded, my eyes moving towards communion, that communicates that I believe something special is happening here. And as we approach the communion minister, the priest or minister of communion, we should bow, not to the person who's giving us communion, but rather to the Lord who we are about to receive. And then we extend our hands. We extend our hands to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. Now, if you're right-handed, you hold your left hand out flat to create a throne to receive the Lord. And you can put your right hand underneath so that you can use your dominant hand then to take the host and place it in your mouth. If you're left-handed, you would do the opposite. We receive Holy Communion right there in front of the minister of communion. Sometimes we can get into this mentality that communion has to be as fast as humanly possible. That's not really what it's meant to be. It's meant to be a very deliberate time, a conscious time, to be thinking about what I'm doing, what a great gift this is. And we receive communion right there in front of the minister, not halfway back down the aisle before we get to our seat. Often people will make the sign of the cross after they receive Holy Communion, which is a wonderful gesture. And then when you're back at your place, it's a time for prayer, a time to be united to Jesus as he comes to you. Unfortunately, after about 15 years of distributing Holy Communion, I've seen sort of all of the wrong ways to receive communion. A very frequent one is the U, people who hold their hands out like this. Well, when you hold your hands out like this, I don't know which hand to put the host in. And if you move your hand, it might fall down. It might fall out. There are people who come up and grab the host or take the host from the communion minister. We don't take communion, we receive communion. Jesus comes to us as a gift. We don't take, we receive. Of course, you are able to receive Holy Communion on the tongue if you so should so desire. Of course, we're asking folks now to consider not doing that because of the germ factor. But for those folks who receive Holy Communion on the tongue, I've also encountered the biters and the lickers, which is as gross as it sounds. If you so choose to receive Holy Communion on your tongue, please simply open your mouth, stick your tongue out, and let the minister place the host on your tongue. Don't lean your head back. Don't move away too fast, because that's when we get bit. How we receive Holy Communion, our worthiness, our comportment, our disposition, demonstrates what we believe we're receiving. And it also communicates to other people. It communicates to those who are watching that I think that this is something very serious. I've encountered many converts who say it was reverence that was shown to the Blessed Sacrament that moved their hearts to become Catholic. So if you think this is simply rules that I'm putting out, it's really not that. It can really be a very powerful symbol and sign. So my friends, I hope you have enjoyed this series on the Mass. And I will just say that there is so much more that we could have said, really only picking out tiny little bits to focus on. I would encourage you to go back and read through the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, the Bread of Life Discourse. Read it straight through so you can hear for yourself and meditate on that, on what Jesus has to say there. And remember that the Eucharist is our down payment on heaven. God desires so much for us to be with him forever in heaven. He's created a place for us there. And he's so excited for us to be there, he gives us little glimpses of heaven on this side. And Holy Communion is our greatest down payment, our greatest glimpse on heaven. Because one day, we will be gazing on God forever, united to him forever. And when we receive Holy Communion, we have received him right now in this life and are united with him here.